Hey, New Life Church, Bronson Duke here. Thanks for listening in. The heart of our church is that you would know Jesus, that you would walk with Jesus, and you would learn how to live like he lived. We hope that this message equips you and it empowers you on your journey walking with Jesus.
All right. Hey, if we could remain standing. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word. And here's what I want to encourage you to do as we go through the scripture here. Begin to ask God, what are you saying in the scripture? What might you be saying to me today that could help me in my life? Amen? Let's do this.
Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that it's a gift to us. God, that you speak to us through it. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you'd come. We invite you. Speak to us, grow us, shape us, and change us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, you can have a seat. Well, welcome to church. How is everyone doing? You doing well? Okay, did y'all spring break this year? Was this a thing? Did people go places? Well, it is strangely at the end of spring break. It's Palm Sunday. And this next weekend, believe it or not, in March is Easter, right? Is that strange to anybody else but church people? Does that feel weird to anybody else? Well, the weather's going to be good. It's going to be great. But every year at Palm Sunday, we have to ask ourselves this question. So Jesus, when he's coming in, we heard the story earlier. He's riding in on a donkey, right? And people are shouting, "Hosanna." And what's happening is they're beginning to recognize who Jesus is. Jesus is a king, right? So they're coming in, they're welcoming this king who's coming in on a donkey. The question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, what does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus? What does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus? Have you ever had someone in your life who just would not listen to you? Like, no matter how much you tried to help them. Now listen, you had world-changing advice. I know this. This room is full of smart people. You were trying to help them. Listen, they just wouldn't hear it though, right? They wouldn't hear that boy or that girl that they were trying to date was absolutely poisonous, right? Or they wouldn't stop spending all their money on lattes and missing rent or whatever it was, right? They just kept trying to make that hat work for them. That was not working for them, right? We all have seen this. We've all had these moments. Well, you're not going to believe this, but in pastoral ministry, from time to time, you have somebody who comes for advice that they just won't listen to, right? So one year, this is early in my ministry, there was a couple that came to me and they were having some financial trouble. And I said, "Listen, we're going to set aside a night. We're going to go through your budget. We're going to help you figure this out." And so they came over, we're working through it all, and we're looking through the finances, all right? We're looking at every line. We're looking at their income. We're looking at their debts. And the reality was, it just was not matching up, okay? They didn't have what they needed to cover the bills. So then what time is it? All right, where are my budget people at? What's it time to start doing? Cutting spending. I'm a little concerned that none of you answered that, but we have financial peace coming up in the fall. It's time to cut spending. So we start going through their line items. I'm like, okay, like I'm seeing about $50 a month to the Apple store. What's that about? I'm like, "Oh, that's Candy Crush." I'm like, "Easy, let's cut Candy Crush." I'm like, "That's a deal breaker. That's my spending money right there." And I'm like, "All right, let's talk about food. Well, you know, do you eat out a lot?" "No, we don't eat out a lot. We cook at home." I'm like, "Okay, well, here's what my wife and I found is like dark meat chicken is pretty cheap. And so we went away from the white meat. We're eating dark meat." And they go, whoa, "We're going to stop you right there. That's a deal breaker." And I'm sitting there. I'm starting to get frustrated. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm like, "You don't seem to understand the situation you're in." And here's what occurred to me. They didn't necessarily want help. They just wanted to talk about the problem, right? They didn't actually want to make changes. And here's what I really believe is they didn't understand the severity of the issue that they had. Here's the reality. If you don't see your needs correctly, you will never seek or accept the help that you truly need. Listen, we've all been there. We can all relate. Like when your parents told you anything under the age of 25, right? You didn't want to hear it. They didn't know what they were talking about. They hadn't lived through it, right? But when you see yourself in your situation accurately and properly, you'll begin to bring real needs persistently. You'll get desperate and you'll get humble and you'll seek the advice you need. Here's how Jesus laid it out at the beginning of this chapter. He says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like what? Like a child will not enter it. You know, it's really interesting. We just read the story of a blind man, but this chapter, chapter 10 in the scripture, is actually the story of four blind men. And Jesus begins going into this section, explaining the dynamics of his kingdom. Like, if you want to enter his kingdom, you have to enter humbly, like a child. And then he tells a story about a rich, young, what? Ruler. A man who couldn't see, that his wealth couldn't meet his deepest needs. He was blind. Next, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, we saw two disciples who believed that to go into Jesus' kingdom meant seats of power, right? What did Jesus tell them? He said, the least will become the greatest. Those who become the slave of all, the servant of all, will be great in the kingdom. They were blind to the dynamics of the kingdom. But here we have a man who is physically blind. But what does he do? He understands, he perceives, and he sees. Jesus makes it clear, wealth will not get you eternal life. Wealth will not deal with your issues. Power will not make you great. He gives us the secret in the beginning. How do you receive the kingdom? How do you walk in healing and wholeness in Jesus? How do you do it? You receive it like what? A child. Why won't these other things work? Listen, Jesus is not like objectively opposed to wealth, right? But wealth won't deal with our deepest issues. It's not an influence issue. He's not opposed to Christians having influence. It's actually an issue of faith. So what is faith? If I went around the room and I polled you all, we might have a lot of different answers, but here's what I want to submit to you. Faith is not merely cognitive belief, right? A lot of times the way we approach Christianity is like, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. It's not merely cognitive belief. The scripture says, even the demons, what? Believe. Here's what I want to frame for you. According to the scripture, faith is actually an orientation of trust. It's where you're willing to put the weight of your life into something. The rich young ruler, no matter how much he believed Jesus to be good, his true trust, it was in his wealth to make his life secure and to make it meaningful. The disciples, they were literally following Jesus, right? But their trust was in power and significance. But blind Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, he ran to Jesus. We're going to talk about this in a second, throwing aside his only means of acquiring resources, his cloak and security for himself, because he put trust in Jesus. Faith is not cognitive belief, but it's a life orientation of trust. Here's the question. What do you put trust in? If you're really honest, listen, all of us have a complex web. Here's one of the fun things and the difficult things about walking with Jesus is in every season of life, you find more and more things that you're putting in place of him. It could be money. You might ask the question, if I lost my wealth, what would I be? It could be your looks. If you're not handsome and beautiful, what are you? It could be your reputation or your influence. Who am I if people don't think I'm cool or respectable or smart? Could be your athleticism, right? Who am I if I'm not fit? Could be your intelligence. Who am I if I'm not smart? Faith is saying to Jesus, I believe what you say about me, and I believe that you hold the path and the secrets of life. Enter the kingdom like a child. Let's talk about children for a second. What does a child do? A child puts trust in their parents, right? They're utterly dependent on you. They have no lens for when they're bothering you, right? They have no lens for when they're coming to you too much. You can't always handle all their attention, but you know who can handle it? Jesus, right? Have you noticed they shockingly come back to you for love despite not understanding what you're doing? A child is ready to embrace immediately after discipline. Why is this? They trust you. If you're a parent of small children, you know that you're a child's only source for everything they need, for love, for food, for shelter, even for entertainment, right? This is what Jesus is saying. Come to me like a child. Put your faith, your trust in me to heal you and satisfy you. Put your identity in me. We're going to unpack this in a second, but I just want to say this. My kids are Dukes, all right? That is who they are. My kids are Duke children. That is their identity. And someday, some lucky guy is going to marry Georgia, and I'm going to have a third Duke son, all right? He's going to take the name. Georgia Smith. If your last name's Smith, I'm sorry. Smith or Duke, all right? Here's what this passage is showing us. It's showing us the dynamics of coming to Jesus, receiving healing, and being changed. So, point one, how do you come to Jesus? First, we talked about this in the beginning. You have to see your condition what? Accurately. His condition was clear. We literally call him blind Bartimaeus as if blind was his first name, all right? He's blind. We get it, okay? Here's the question. How do you see yourself? If you're presenting yourself to someone of importance, what do you usually want them to know about you? Think about it. It's strengths, right? You want to show them your strengths. If you were to label yourself, you're going to be like, hey, my name is Ricky the Rich. It's nice to meet you, my Lord, right? Hans the Handsome, Peter the Powerful, Susan the Smart, Delbert the Dilbert, or the Diligent, okay? But can I tell you a secret? Careful, yeah. Alliteration. Can I tell you a secret that I've learned? Here's the reason many of us don't receive the hope and the healing and the renewal and the change in Jesus we're seeking. It's because we come to Jesus and we come to church based on our strength, not looking for his. Here's what I notice. People who receive the power of God and the scripture are renowned, not for their strength, but for their weakness. If you're honest, and you were going to be recorded in the scripture, would you be recorded for coming to Jesus with your strengths and credentials like the rich young ruler or your weaknesses like blind Bartimaeus? Here's what I want you to see. The people who receive the power of Christ in scripture get honest about their needs when they encounter Jesus. The Roman centurion had a sick kid. He needed help. The woman with the issue of blood had chronic illness. Zacchaeus was short and greedy, okay? And Bartimaeus was blind. Here's my question. If your story was recorded in the scriptures for all of history, for people to see, who would you be? Like when your illusions of control absolutely crash in on you, like they do for all of us in moments, what would your name be? When your ability to resist the vices that you fight collapse, what would your name be? Alexander the anxious, Aaron the angry, Gregory the greedy, or Lester the lustful. Here's the amazing thing. God already sees the worst of you. He already sees it. He sees your worst moments. He sees your deepest failures. He sees the things you want to hide from everyone. And he still says, come to me. He still says, I love you, I have value. Even more than that, he says, I love you, you have value. I have a plan, a hope, and a future for you. Come to me, receive a new identity, and walk in the fullness of life. Max Lucado said this, and just like Jesus, he says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Listen, to accept your condition, you have to give your need a name. Here's what I want you to do, just a moment of honesty. Whether you've been walking with Jesus for 20 years or maybe you're in a place where, like I described, things are falling in, you're trying to figure out a way forward. If you gave your need a name, what would it be? Here's the incredible thing about Christianity. It's the one religion in the world where you can be fully known and loved more, not less, for having issues. Here's the invitation of Jesus. Get honest with yourself about where you're at, what's going on, and if there's anything that needs to change. So what is your need? Are you in denial? Are you burying it? Are you looking it in the face? Because when you get honest about what's going on, you can bring it to Jesus. And what our scripture tells us today is that his power and strength is sufficient for your deepest need. Here's what can happen to many of us, especially Christians in the room. You go through enough life, you go through enough struggling, and at some point, you just begin to accept your condition. You quit believing that Jesus can change it. I wonder if anybody in here just needs their faith stirred up. Like, you've just been fighting something for years and years and years. Here's what I want to tell you. Keep bringing whatever that thing is to Jesus, because whatever is weak in you can become strength in him. And whatever test you have right now, eventually God will turn it into a testimony for other people who are going through what you're going through if you won't give up. Look at blind Barty, all right? He has what I'm convinced is one of the greatest superpowers in life, okay? It's not strength. It's not super sight. All right, we know that. That's clear. It's not riches. He's sitting on the side of the road begging. So what makes him a paradigm for emulation? You know what his superpower is? Persistence. He will not give up. So point number one, assess your condition accurately. Point number two, bring your needs persistently. Verse 47, when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, they began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David." He shouted, "Have mercy on me." And the people rebuked him. The religious people all around Jesus were like, "Be quiet, stay in your issue, stay away from Jesus." But what did he do? He shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and see this. Jesus stopped. He said, "Call him." And they said, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling to you." Notice everyone told him to be quiet, and people even rebuked him. They told him to accept his fate, to stay in his issue. But here's what's so powerful about this interaction. Blind Bartimaeus had faith in Jesus, even though he never saw him. Listen, for some of us, we go through life and we're like, "I can't see Jesus. I don't see him." He didn't see me either. He just heard the stories. Can I tell you a story? My faith journey to Jesus, I had a crippling addiction that was ruining my life. And my coming to Jesus was the moment that I realized that I had a path of destruction that I was going on, but Jesus was offering me a path of life. And it took years, but I got free from the addiction. Can I tell you another story? My mom had a wayward son, and she went to her Bible study. And you know what they did? They got on their knees and they prayed. And you know what God did? He answered and honored the prayers of a mother. Here's what I want to tell you. Whatever you're going through, the key to finding freedom is persistently and consistently coming to Jesus and saying, "No matter what happens, I'm not going to give up." Bring your needs, notice these dynamics, with confession and prayer, with persistence. I heard a story years ago from an old preacher, and he said in Africa, they built this rhinoceros pen, and they were trying to keep the rhinoceros zen. And so if you know anything about rhinos, what do? They're trying to get through something, they charge, right? And so they built this charge-proof gate. There was absolutely no way these rhinos were knocking this gate down, okay? You know what the rhinoceroses did? They ran into it a few times. But eventually they realized it wasn't through force, but it was through persistently leaning on that stinking gate that was going to take it down. Here's what I want to tell you. If you have run into the gate, you have been battling sin, you've been looking for healing, you've been looking for things, you're running, you're ramming your head against the gate. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Plant your feet. Lean on that gate with the power of God. And here's what I want to promise you. Over time, it will come down. It might take 4 minutes. It might take 40 years. But here's the good news. What we're doing in this present life is practicing for what we'll experience in full in eternity. Don't give up. Listen, I don't know what you're going through, but I know what my friends have gone through. They've gone through infertility. They've gone through eating disorders. They've gone through divorce. They've gone through loss of jobs, and that's just the pastoral staff. I've seen Jesus heal and redeem time and time and time again. Bring your needs to Jesus. Bring it accurately, bring it persistently, and lastly, bring it desperately. Go to Jesus with desperation. Verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. He said, "Rabbi, what? I want to see." Isn't it funny that Jesus asked him what he wanted? In the first century, what people would do who were beggars is they would lay their cloaks on the ground. They would kneel at their cloaks, and they would wait for people to come and generously bring alms. His cloak was his one way of gathering wealth and security for himself. You see, blind Bartimaeus is the antithesis of the rich young ruler. Christ said to the rich young ruler, "Give everything you have away and come to me, and you'll have eternal life." Blind Bartimaeus, without thought, threw his one source of security away because he believed that he could find the fullness of life in Jesus. Here's my question for you. What's that thing you need to throw aside with desperation so that you can receive the healing that you need? Listen, for some of us, it could be our dependence on our wealth. It could be the way that we build our life around our gifts, our talents. Listen, it could even be pride not wanting to ask for prayer. But I want you to assess your needs right now. I want to encourage you to bring it with persistence. And on top of that, be desperate. Don't lose desperation to receive the healing that you're looking for, because if you'll stay desperate and persistent and come to Jesus, I believe you'll receive what you need. Amen. We're going to go into a time of response here in a moment. Worship team can begin to come forward. There's going to be a bit of a stampede, but I trust you can focus and lock in with me. What's your thing? What's the thing as we're going through this, you're like, ooh, like, man, I need God to move in my life in that area. What do you need to throw aside? What do you need to bring honestly and persistently to Jesus? It could be an addiction. It could be an identity. Listen, it could even be a friendship. We're going to go into a time of prayer. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to take a moment and identify where you're at. But then I also want you to begin, maybe if you're not in a place you're like, listen, that's not me. I'm not desperate right now. I'm doing pretty good. I want you to lift your eyes a little bit and say, do I have a friend who right now is going through it? Like, who's that friend that right now, whatever they're going through, you're like, man, I wish they were sitting right next to me. Because what they're going through, they need to hear the hope and the message of Jesus. Can I give you encouragement? We talked about it last weekend. This weekend is Easter. We're gonna celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We're gonna preach the gospel. We're gonna talk about all the good things God has done. I want to ask you, who is someone that needs to hear this good news? Who's that person that you wish was here with you? And will you invite them this weekend to church so we can preach the gospel to them, tell them the good news of Jesus, that they might find the healing and the hope that you found? Amen? Let's pray. I want to pray for you, but I'm going to lead us into a time of reflection. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to just show you any area, maybe where you've given up, any area where you need Jesus to come in and to touch and to heal. Amen? Let's go into a time of prayer. And close your eyes all across the room, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're comfortable, you can just hold your hands out in front of you in your lap. It's just a posture of receiving. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we ask that you would reveal to us areas where we need you to touch, we need you to heal. Listen, if you're in a place right now where you don't know Jesus, but you're where I was at and you're in a mess, come to Jesus. I can testify, I can tell you story after story of the goodness and the grace of God. If you want that, I just want to encourage you. I'm going to pray a prayer. I want you to pray it with me. I'm going to give you some direction at the end of service. But if you're in a place where you want to follow after Jesus, you want to receive the healing, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you are who you say you are, that you can do what you say you can do. I accept your love, and I want to walk with you. In Jesus' name.
Hey guys, thanks for listening in. I hope that this message blessed you and it helps you in your journey with Jesus. If it did, leave a comment, leave a review. Things like that help us spread the message of Jesus. If you want to connect with us, the best way to do that is to follow us on Instagram at NLC Downtown Little Rock to follow along with the life of our church.